Welcome back, everybody, to the Overdung Podcast. This is episode 64 of your favorite Competitive Unite podcast. It is an early episode, so apologies already for everybody listening in podcast land. Lazarin and I are going to be trying our best, but it's top of the hour for our champion that we have on the podcast today guesting. We got Toon, currently on the EU AOS Cup champion team of Talipoba Believers. Welcome to the show, Toon, and of course, congrats on your big win.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive tournament. A lot of fun games. We're going to break it all down upcoming shortly. But we also have Lazarin on the show, as always. Lazarin, how's your last week been?
Are you sure I'm here? Are you really sure?
Listen, I warned the people at the start of the episode, if they're sticking with it, they know what they're in for, okay? They know.
As anybody who's been on Twitter knows, it's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a week for sure. And Unite NA has been a bit of a hellstorm. We'll definitely be talking about that a little bit farther on in the episode. I don't really want to call it a drama tea segment because it's not really, it's human rights, but we'll talk about that in the future, so don't worry about that. What we are going to talk about right now, though, is EUIC Top 8, the in-person event. I had the incredible pleasure and just like privilege to be able to go and cast in person. The event was sick, in my opinion. I had so much fun being a part of it. But Toon, I'm really interested in your opinion as a player. Obviously you won the tournament, so there's going to be some good vibes with that, but let's start like a little bit earlier. You were at Worlds, and now you were at this event. Infrastructure, like player focus and everything, it definitely seemed a lot better than Worlds for this event. How did you feel, towards the US?
Yeah, it's a lot better. Even just the practice area, like just having screens, like really well set up. I felt like it ran better as well. Like day one of Worlds was a shambles.
Yes.
But like other than the first set here, which took forever, after that they just, it was like just a railroad. It was just going really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, games went sick. That made stream a whole lot easier. But yeah, I made the in-person event a lot better too. But yeah, for everybody wondering, the practice area that Toon's referring to, we had full monitor set up for all of the teams. We had like six setups for teams to play, but it was also situated where you could still see the stage and the event from the practice area, which is really cool. So you could be focusing on warming up but also keeping an eye on the current matches and everything, which is just so fantastic. I thought that was a really cool really cool space for that. And yeah, the game's running way better is awesome. I think it's just like it's year two. We know a little bit more about the devil that we're dealing with that is the game of Pokemon Unite, and we know what needs to be done. Full game restarts in between every game, like those kind of things. We know what we're doing now a bit better, and we can make the system a lot smoother, which is fantastic. So I'm excited that the players were feeling that as well. How about you from at home, Lesident? How did you feel as a spectator watching EUIC?
I would say that the spectator experience for USA was like really, really good. Like, I cannot emphasize this enough. Holy shit, we got to see all the games. That
yes.
was amazing.
Oh, my word. Uh-huh.
Like, that felt so good. Like, I only have one complaint the entire day for both days overall, but it was a pretty big one, which was the Talonflame on the Canada gate in day two.
Yes.
because that, like, I mean, like, as I tweeted out, because I was watching the events live, like for my fucking NA time zone, but like I had straight up had to go to bed after that camera mistake because like I just got a horrible, horrible headache. do not do that. But other than that, it was a totally wonderful like event for a spectator experience. Mm-hmm. Lots of great games. Big fan.
Yeah.
Was that when he dropped the camera? I know there was like
no, it's been...
there was a something happened and then there was like a massive bang. The event.
No. Oh, so if you I'll send you the clip later, but like if you have your camera locked on a Talonflame when it's autoing your Reggie, it like violently jerks the camera around. And oh, they gave me a fucking huge headache.
Oh.
yeah.
Talon's fucking auto attacks are fucking...
No. I think what Les is referring... Or, sorry, what Toon's referring to... Yeah, I think there was, like, a single cam operator on one of the stages, like, dropped a camera at some point, and there was, like, a super loud bang. It was very concerning for everybody for a short moment. But, obviously, everyone was fine. Nobody was hurt or anything. But it was, it was a pretty crazy moment for sure. But, yes, I think observers have obviously been a discussion with the community and the Twitch viewership and everybody who's been watching all year long. I think it has been steadily improving. I mean, I think anything has been so much better than what February and March were. There are still mistakes that stick around, but I do think in the long run we're gonna be better off for it. But yeah, you're right. The Talonflame one was pretty egregious. That one hurts to watch. But yeah, I think at home. You did talk about it, though, and that is one other thing that I think is worth discussing is time zone-wise. Like, even for EU time zone, we are starting early. And we started with all of the other games, right? That's why the time worked to it. We also ended way earlier than all of the other games because we only have top 8. We're doing every game, but we can move through these games pretty quick when everything's running correctly. Yeah, time zone is interesting. Like, I think it's worth opening up the discussion to be like, do we have to start at the same time as every other game? Like, I don't think so. We could definitely start a little bit later. NA is like 50% of the audience since we're doing these EU NA broadcasts kind of all in one package all the time. I think it would be worth opening up a discussion if we could start a little bit later so it's not like 1 a.m. on West Coast or whatever is start time, which is rough, but I mean, in-person EU events, we're kind of stuck with some situations, but I do think there was a way to make it a little better. But if that's the complaint and NA people have to just get up in the middle of the night, yeah, I think we can deal with some of that. I'm not too sure. That is pretty late.
For this, like, there isn't that many teams, right? There's only 8, but like for Japan, I imagine we'll be starting like a similar time in Japan.
Right.
And then it'll probably run for like 10 hours.
Which, a similar time in Japan isn't, like, that's, like, pretty good for NA. I think, like, yeah. Spectator-wise, it's pretty good for NA. EU's kind of doomed.
EU's doomed, but it's fine.
EU I mean, will be doomed.
It's going to run so long as well, though, like...
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I'm pretty confident the format will be very similar to last year, of, like, we do group stage into bracket, and trust me, we have all been pushing very hard for 3 broadcast days for Worlds. We'll see if that's a chance, but I really hope so. But yeah, we'll see. Outside of that, like, production wise everything, also the games were sick. We'll definitely talk about a few more specific games. I want to pick your brains about that, like the favorite games and things like that. One last production note I want to say: the score line with both teams in cam shot is my favorite. The, like, it was how the grand finals was decided, was that crazy scoreline at the end, and you have both teams reacting as the scoreline bars go up. Yeah, mobile players see it a little bit early, but with how animated Geese is on his reactions, you honestly couldn't tell if they lost or won. I think that camera shot is sick. Lazarin, do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, that camera shot was, like, amazing for sure. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I think the innovation has been the innovation's been pretty cool. And the last thing I wanted to mention too, it was pretty cool seeing like some of the Twitter buzz around Unite from a lot of the other games, because okay, listen, I'm a pretty endemic Pokemon person. Like I've come from TCG, but I've also like been in the VGC community and the Go community for a long time. Like Unite is nowhere close to my first Pokemon title. And it's funny to see, like, finally Unite entering the conversation of, like, these other Pokemon titles. Like, I've saw a Twitter post of people being like, damn, like, the crowd at USD is crazy. It really makes me want to go check out. What people were like, man, it really must make me go check out VGC. And then all the replies were like, no. Like, the crowd noise is Unite. Like, by far. Like, if you were in person, the crowd is from Unite. Because they're nuts. Which is really, really cool. Really, really cool to see that. Plus, they put us beside TCG. So, like, our crowd's gonna dominate no matter what. So, I'm pretty into that. But it was, it was pretty cool. But let's break down some of the games that actually happened. Do you have any specific, like, favorite games? Lazen, maybe I'll start with you as a viewer from home. Was there a specific matchup in the top eight tournament that was your favorite to watch? I know you were watching them all at the midnight hour, but were any...
give me a sec. Fair enough. Asleep and trying to remember things from 2 a.m.
Fair enough. Toon, you were actually there. You were competing. You had a pretty crazy run all the way through Winterside. You did get reset in the bracket, but you pulled it off. Favorite matchup of the weekend?
Grands.
Yeah.
The funnest to play.
Yeah. I mean, Grands was sick. When you were headed in on that Winterside, was it like... I mean, obviously, you're a confident player. I've known you for quite a while, Toon. But, like, were you going into this one like... Damn, like, Nouns has got that momentum, or were you like, we're going to clean this one up pretty good?
I had a thinking about momentum. It's just like, you know, yeah, we have a reset. We just do what we can. Mm-hmm. If it goes to reset, whatever, it's a whole new set. We have to win one BO5. Like, if we don't win one BO5, we suck anyway. So.
True. I think that sentiment is pretty highly regarded, but I like that a lot. Yeah, Grands was sick. I think that's going to be one of the best Unite matches for a long time. I mean, definitely a headline match of Season 2, in my opinion. Lazarus, how about you?
It was not... Let's see. I think it was... I'd say Time to Shine versus Woof Woof was a pretty close series.
Time to Shine Nouns is another one that I was thinking of.
Yeah, those were both very, very good. Obviously, Grands was probably my actual favorite, but Toon said that, so well. But there was a couple of like really, really close series, a lot of interesting drafts that I'm trying to remember. Those would definitely be my favorites for sure.
Cool. I liked when Zephyr built a house on stage. I was a pretty big fan. Barrier Mime and Crustle Wall was pretty hype. I was losing my mind. Chris was malting beside me. It was so funny. Chris was like, I'm watching a Barrier Psychic Mime. I can't.
You are correct, Dodo. I am an idiot. I forgot.
It was 2 a.m. and it's currently 9 a.m. This is Lazarus has been put in a tough spot. 8 a.m. True. Yeah, you have been put in a tough spot right now. But yeah, no, games were sick start to finish. Content pieces were pretty good. I thought the teams put on a pretty good show in terms of like interviews and stuff. I thought that was great. Good showing from that. But yeah, in terms of overall meta wise, Toon, was there anything that like really surprised you in terms of picks over the weekend that like other teams were pulling off? Do you think that Telebobo brought any like big surprises in terms of compositions or anything like that?
No, we basically just played
a
couple of mons each.
Right.
Usually we could be more flexible, but you know,
playing with the
it's basically me just like I haven't practiced any of the mons I'm playing. I'm just playing them. And then we have Lendru, who like only wants to play a couple of mons. So then it's mainly the biggest flex is probably Klaus. And he's just like, oh, I want to run around his water bit. Yeah. I mean, other teams, I mean, Zephyr just play random stuff.
Yes.
And then, I don't know. Urshifu was like really high prio. Probably surprising.
Yeah, Urshifu had a really good showing. Did not have a very good showing in NA, which is always interesting. Like with a tournament a couple of weeks ago in NA and then having the top eight finish a couple weeks after in EU. It shows an interesting precedent when we go towards regionals where fortunately EU regionals will be online this year, but NA has the benefit of being in person. So it'll be interesting to look at the differences between those two. Lazarus, any Pokemon picks that really jumped off the page to you? I know you were malding about some of them. So any of those that you were malding about or any that really excited you?
Where are we picking Machamp?
Machamp, wow. Okay, that's not the one I thought you'd aim for first, but interesting.
That one is so bad. Okay, so the one that ticked me off the most the entire weekend, I'm awake now, was the Wiggly, but I have been informed that was a misclick, so I can't flame that too hard.
Interesting. Okay, it felt weird, so I'm not gonna lie. Man, I wish I knew that was a misclick. I wish we got that information fed to me. But anyway, continue.
It was funny because we had Junkie on he was coaching Time to Shine, and he was trying to justify it when Ren and I were watching the games on his stream.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, he was told that it was a misclick, and he was laughed at for trying to justify it.
Hey, oh my God, when you're funny. Coaching a team, you gotta get fully behind them until you don't have to. Yeah, you know, yeah, you yeah, gotta yeah. go all the way. And good on Junkie. Good on Junkie.
Yeah. Unlucky. Awesome. I wouldn't say laughed at, but they found it funny that he had to try to justify.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I think that Machamp looked decent in some of the games. It also just sometimes just did nothing. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of very weird Talonflame prio.
Yep.
Where comfy? Where is it?
Yes. Non-existent.
Dodrio also undervalued, in my opinion.
Yeah, except for like a few specific teams. But I guess that is the definition of undervalued, I suppose, if only certain teams are going yeah. after it and stuff. And we talked about it a little bit pre-going live for this show. And as I mean, you got to factor in stage nerves, too. It's not mm-hmm. Unite is not the biggest stage in esports, but it's still a first experience for a lot of these players playing on stage, playing in person, having a crowd. You get nervous in some of those situations and you rely on comfortable picks. So if you're not the best or like you're not at that top level on some of these Pokemon picks, maybe you tend to avoid them. I think the big Zoroark question mark around EU definitely leans into that regard. But do you agree with that at all, Azadin?
I definitely think that Zoroark was stronger than they gave it credit for. And I think that especially like Klaus Zoroark games like really showed it.
Yes. Klaus was like smurfing on Zoroark when he
I also think Klaus. EU in general undervalues Water Bear, but I also understand why they do that after watching some of the Water Bear games because oof.
Ooh, okay. That's our shade being thrown. That's our shade being thrown. Tune, any defense for the EU region, or do you think that's just yeah, the stage nerves kind of bit the draft a little bit?
Probably, but also like I don't know, people have different things they value, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, like it depends who you play. It's like if you're like scrimming against us and you're like the fifth best team and you play Water Bear, the game actually just feels unplayable. Like. Mm.
Probably, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, realistically, if you play Water Bear and you lose the game, like, the game is over, so.
Yeah.
And then people yeah. are like, well, we can't play Water Bear, it feels awful. And things like that affect how people see draft and stuff.
That is true.
It all depends.
That is really true. All right, well, let's talk a little bit more. Let's jump away from just compositional picks, because I do think it is a lot of question marks, but I think we're going to see the answers to those pretty soon. Overall team structure. Tune, when I had Talibobo on after you won, I don't know, whatever tournament you won. You've won so many at this point in time. When I had you on the podcast to discuss, you all really shouted out Woof Woof as like the number one competitor towards Talibobo at that time. You thought they were the most traditional Unite style team, but also one of the strongest in the region. Woof Woof had a pretty good showing, but I mean, EU seems more wide open than it did previously, but I think that's still that top four really pushing farther ahead. Do you think it's like Talibobo nouns and then a bit of a tier gap with the rest of the teams right now, or do you think that it's like still really competitive for that top four spot?
It's Talibobo and nouns and then the rest.
Yeah,
obviously after the roster changes as well, but I don't know, like nouns shouldn't struggle like they do. I don't know why they drop games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I was hanging out with a lot of the Nouns crew after the championship game or whatever we were hanging out, and I mean, a lot of the talk was just like just not on the same page. You know, you make some decisions. Doofnax was talking to Blaine about it, said it on broadcast too. I think it's just like Blaine was looking up at Nouns and was like, we're the only team not having fun on that stage right now, and that needs to change. And when Nouns feels comfortable and they're just chilled, a little more chilled out, they are a crazy good team, and they're able to compete with Talibobo, as seen in day number two. Because yeah, Nouns day two was like a different team.
There was it was a very big day one, day two diff there.
A switch flipped for sure. Yeah. Well, Lassiton, you're and one of the highest regarded analysts within the scene. If you're looking at Nouns, you're seeing the inconsistencies a little bit between day one and day two. What would your coaching analyst opinion be about Nouns? What do they need to do to clean up to be like that dominant force from season one again?
Obviously, like, it's kind of rough when you make a change to one of your major carry roles, especially a player that is as different as Sixies versus right. Red Maw.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell a little bit that they were not quite used to all playing on the same page with whatever their new style should be. Mm-hmm. So, like, I definitely agree there. Part of that is just, like, you know, just more time is required. Part of that is, you know, maybe reanalyzing the way you do your comms, because if you're not on the same page in game, how are you supposed to, like, if you're not on the same page with, like, how you want to communicate and when you're communicating, then it's just going to fall apart, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you know, it's kind of hard to diagnose the problem from the outside in.
Yeah.
Though, like, I definitely could sympathize with the that particular kind of issue.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but you're right. It is some more intangible things, but when you're mm-hmm. when you're in that environment, that is tough. But yeah.
So I would also say that I like this is like maybe this is just not good advice for Noun specifically, but like in general, what I do when like my teams are struggling with more like intangible stuff is you play standard shit that you all know how to play, and it put like it helps get you on the same page better.
Just run it back. I hear you.
Just play normal, you know. Nouns does tend to play very, very chaotic, and like a lot of very unique styles, and I think that maybe I don't know, maybe they benefit from just playing some standard in order to help get themselves on the same page.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, soon after winning EU AOS Cup, you guys have put yourself in a pretty sizable lead in terms of championship points. I mean, the top points being distributed does make things a little bit close. The chance of you losing first spot are still technically possible, but let's talk a little bit about championship point format for the entire year. Obviously, it wasn't really clearly stated before AOS, so we just have made it a very big focus to talk about it on broadcast as much as possible about how the World Championship things are delivered. The top three championship points earners in the region are invited to World Championships, as well as the regional finals winner is auto invited to Worlds. Now, I got this information. I don't know if this was super public either, so I'm just going to say it on live broadcast to explain it for people who are listening. If the number one championship points holder, if Tally Bobo won the regional finals, they won that matchup, that now becomes their method for qualifying for Worlds, and then the championship point, like, people that are invited are 2, 3, and 4, if number one gets that seed. So basically, whoever gets the regional finals victory is then, like, removed from the championship point conversation, and then the other three seeds are awarded that victory. I don't know if that was super clear. I just want to make it well-known for that point. But the other thing is that the two paid invites or travel reward are divvied out to the regional finals winner and the top championship point seeds. So that is how, for the two paid, for example, regions that have four invites. So NA, EU, Brazil? I'm forgetting some of them now. But that is how it is divvied out. But anyway, thoughts on the format and championship points, how they changed this year? June?
Yeah, I mean, I prefer it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, what's it called? I would have had a travel stipend last year if it was this format. So
right,
unlucky. But yeah, I mean,
Lasman brought it up before about they thought it was a bit of an overcorrection. She was thinking that like she would prefer 2 and 2. Do you like that, or are you more into this 1 and 3?
I think 1 and 3 is fine. I mean, okay. Realistically, like, what are the odds that one of the top three teams in points aren't, like, either one or two of the top regionals anyway,
yeah.
Right?
True. Yeah.
Yeah, surely that's never happened. So, last year.
Hey, I didn't have to bring it up on an episode for once. Let's go. Lesin, you talked about before how you were thinking 2 and 2 would have been your preferred thing. Are you still feeling that way, or are you more leaning back towards the one regional winner and three top championship win seeds?
I mean, like Toon said, it probably won't matter. It'll probably mm-hmm. be the same, but I still do think that it heavily, like, too heavily leaning on historical performance versus current performance is a bad thing.
Yeah.
That has led to some sketchy thing, like sketchy, like, teams going to, like, so for example, when League's format used to, like, a little more heavily lean into previous record, there's been some teams from NA that went to Worlds that were oof. You know what I mean?
Right. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, meta's change, teams can dip out. That is true. Headed to Worlds could be an interesting toss-up if teams aren't the same way they were in the past. I think there is, like, a couple dark sides to it. There is that one. I think the other one was already shown on Twitter a little bit. Like, we got Dodo's kind of, like, seasonal retirement from the, like, Dodo was on Giga Chad. Absolutely sick player. I thought they were, like, really making a name for themselves as a player in the competitive scene, but they decided to just kind of call it early. It's a lot of time commitment to be one of the top teams competing. And when you kind of look at the gap in championship points between you and the top teams and the ability to defeat every single one of these teams and spike a regional win, also feeling a little impossible. I mean, we might have more of those, you know, we might have like kind of these teams on the bubble calling it a little early, which is a bummer. But I think it makes sense for those players. Like, if this is, you know, if this kind of game lifestyle is too much to ask, which it's a lot to ask. I get that from a lot of players. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a bummer. I hope that we see some of these players return for regionals, though. I mean, we pay out to top 8 teams for cash, right? I mean, it's an online tournament for a couple of weekends. You get paid out pretty good if you place well. I think it's worth it for some of these teams to show back up. We'll have to see. I think that is the one dark side of it. But
and also, like, it makes more sense from an EU perspective to be doing that, right? Because, like, you've already had your in-person event. Like, that. Like,
that's true.
Yeah. If you're not going to make it to Japan, you know what? You've already had your fun. You're probably not going to get much more out of it. Retire. Go be IRL main. Poggers.
I actually didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Versus, like, NA, it's like, yeah, if you get top 8, you can still make it to Ohio, have a bit of fun with your friends, like, all that good stuff.
True.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
I would not be surprised to see more of that from you.
True. Also, Toon, I'm getting chat is telling me to ask you more questions.
Okay.
Toon, favorite moment from EUIC?
Like, moments? Like, yeah. Does it have to be in the event? Or like,
no, it doesn't have to be in the event. Could be any time. What happened that was really fun?
The funniest, I mean, I don't know about favorite, but the funniest thing that happened was, I think it was on stage in Grands.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it's like 3 minutes to the end of the game, and the cameraman's like pointing the camera in my face. He just slams it down on my desk, like, in the middle of the game. And my whole thing's, you know, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I just looked at him. It's like a minute left for respawn. So, like, what the hell? He's like, oh, my bad. Yeah, that was funny.
That is pretty funny. Hey, you won the game. That's chill.
I also stole the D-Knight. That's another thing.
Yes, oh my word, that was so funny. The Dragonite on stage meta was hilarious. You stole it, and then they moved it back, which was so funny.
Yeah, I think Blaine complained or something.
No, that sounds about right. Well, yeah, that was good stuff.
I had to do some gamemanship, you know, because we lost the first set.
Ah, there you go. You had to get in their heads in a different way. I like it. Fully take advantage of that stage and all the resources available to you. Okay, let's switch gears out of EU and talk a little bit of NA. So, EU was fantastic. Everything was a lot of fun. Meanwhile, NA, there was a lot of meltdowns going on. Lassanen, do you want to start the topic about this a little bit, about what was going on and what we wanted to say as a podcast?
Oh dear. Okay. So, look, for those of you who are not super well aware of everything, I'm just gonna flat out say, like, let me take a sec. So in case it wasn't obvious from the voice compared to the pronouns that are used for me, I am trans. Like, and seeing some of the sentiments that you see is concerning, especially like on Twitter, it wasn't too bad, but, like, you know, like, there's some behind the scenes places where people were kind of downplaying it a lot, and it does not feel good to see that, you know.
Yeah.
As a North American fan, and also, like, as someone who exists in the competitive scene, like, I mentioned going to Ohio. I do not know if I want to. After seeing a lot of the sentiment I did,
right?
It's really disheartening, and it's really disheartening that people treat it as like drama or whatever. When it's like, no, like if you supporting that kind of rhetoric and how people go about it is bad. It leads to very bad things. There are a little under 20 states right now that have passed very, very bad anti-trans legislation.
Yeah.
Two that have passed things that are borderline, you know, genocidal, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's insane. Please, like, speak up for your friends, because it's not going to end with us.
Right. Okay, let me jump in here. I'm gonna have two things that I'm gonna go through. My first one is angry zoinks at the community. Is freaking watch yourselves, you morons. Like, okay, this is a Pokemon title, which means it is a game aimed at all ages, right? Get your hateful, like transphobic, loser, hateful rhetoric out of my freaking game and my community. Like, it is so aggravating that it exists at all. I get it. Online gamers are losers, and I've joined this world of freaking gamers, and they're awful, but like, it doesn't have to exist here, and it is painful. And exactly what Lazarin just said, if you were uncomfortable going to an event that is supposed to celebrate a game that we all, I want to say love, but we don't love it all the time, but celebrate a community and an event and a thing that we all have fun doing, and it's kind of like the peak highlight experience that we're all going towards. If people can't be comfortable there, we have utterly failed in every regard, and that is tragic, and I hate that. Like, Unite Mike's stance will always be that, like trans lives are like human lives forever, always. It is ridiculous that that rhetoric doesn't exist in other places in the Unite community. So, one, that is my, like, my first take. Obviously, wake up some of these NA players. Two, it's a Band-Aid ripoff situation, you know? Like, I've been in esports a really long time, in, like, many, many games, and it's like these situations come up everywhere because gamers suck. And so it is like a situation of like, yes, it is terrible that these things have to happen, that like that, you know, that these conversations even have to occur because people are terrible. But like the fact that they are occurring, and the fact that like we are pushing these things and like actively getting people out, is amazing. Kello, thank you for the raid. I'm currently talking about how trans people should be very welcome in the Unite community, and it's a tragedy that they aren't. I'm like, it is a reminder that it'll get better. It's just right now it is rough. So I wanted to say that is obviously going to be Unite Mike's stance forever and for always. Get on board or get out of my game is honestly what I wanted to talk about. It was so aggravating that that was like a narrative going online on Twitter, because it's just ridiculous. Anyway, that's what we wanted to talk about today. Lazen, I know you were discussing about putting out like a longer post in the future, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things, because shit keeps happening that I keep doing rewrites. It's gone from 6 paragraphs to 2 to 7 back to like 2. I don't know. It'll happen eventually. Obviously have other things to focus on with like April Qual's cooling up, but it'll happen eventually, I promise.
Cool.
All
right, well, look forward to that. Unless at some point we'll be putting out a personal experience towards some of these things, so keep an eye on the Twitter for that. All right, let's talk a little bit about the game of Unite. Let's talk about the Lapras release. This release has been interesting. It has been kind of an up and a down take. I think a lot of people like the release. They like the Pokemon. They like getting out of the game, but it's also pretty bonkers strong. Toon, talk to me about how you feel about the recent Defender added to the game.
Obviously, I didn't see it until I got home.
Right.
It released when I left and then came home. It's ridiculously overpowered.
It's so strong.
Yeah.
Really overpowered. Yeah. It's only second to Zacian. It's like really strong. It's just everything is broken. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know. I don't think the maths on the passive can make sense. Like, sometimes I hit it and the health just doesn't move. Like, I don't know. I swear the passive is broken. Like, I don't know. Everything is overpowered. I don't like it. It's fun to play. I like driving.
Yeah, no, being in the driver's seat feels pretty good. Just feels good to win too, so that also helps. Yeah, you're saying the passive shell armor. If Lapras would take a single instance of damage that would be greater than 10% of Lapras' maximum HP, the damage will be reduced by 25%. Yeah, that's
bonkers. I don't know how the math works. It's just like sometimes I've ninja ulted Lapras and the health doesn't move. Like off both techs. And like I don't understand what's going on.
That's wild. Lassen, how do you feel about this Pokemon?
I have similar feelings. I think it's insanely strong. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's like the second best Pokemon in the game right now, I'm not entirely sure I could say I agree with that, but like it's definitely like super, super strong, like one of mm-hmm. the best releases we've ever seen. Like also incredibly flexible. Insanely powerful ults that I think is going to take forever for people to like properly utilize.
Right now it just seems like just make sure you hit multiple people with the wave, right? Like that honestly just feels mm-hmm. like they gave it Nami ult, but you also get to bring a friend. It's crazy.
Yeah, the passive just does not make sense sometimes. Like I agree, like 25% reduction for like the damage level in this game is to the point where 10% is not hard to hit.
Yeah,
so that's true. Like you're getting that 25% reduction a lot of the time. Like I watched a like level 11 Lapras fight a level 13 Buzzsvolt like 245, and it did not die until 215.
Yes,
just 1v1, and he opened it. Like, oh my god, it's so crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, Lapras pretty nuts strong. If this Pokemon was allowed competitively, which I think for UCS is still has some question marks around it, what role do you think this Pokemon gets on the team? Is it your bottom lane tank, or is it your like top lane offlaner? Like, what are you playing Lapras in a competitive team?
You're asking me?
Yeah, either one. But yeah, Toon, go ahead.
No, you play it anyway. I mean, it runs this overpowered, you can just play it anyway. I mean, all three damage rolls, you can play a tank if you want. I don't think it's great as a tank.
Yeah,
you can play a tank. I mean, if you really want to, you can play a support as well. Like, it's just fine. But
yeah, Bubble Beam support seems like...
Probably top seems best. The only downside to, like, some people said jungle, it farms a little slow.
Yeah,
I don't like farming that slow when I'm in jungle. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can still play a jungle. But yeah, I would prefer, like, topper attacker.
Okay. Ooh, attacker Lapras seems really good to me, especially with like how like big this thing scales, right? Like, isn't it like its scaling numbers are off the charts too? Lazavan, same thoughts. Where would you want to put this thing competitively?
I mean, like, yeah, I think there's like four correct answers, and
okay, sure.
All of them real good in their own way. The only one that's like kind of sketch is support, because supports are broken as shit. So like I don't think you want to put Lapras there. I think there's more broken, like, or not more broken, but like extremely broken things you can put there. But like any other role, it's like, yeah, this is probably better than the average pick here.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you think this Pokemon gets worse in draft at all? Like, do you think you can draft around Lapras, or is it just all around good? That's good in any team comp.
Probably gets better in draft.
Really?
I agree. Okay.
Damn. All right. Interesting. Well, I guess it's immortal.
The only thing that I think is preventing them from saying it's allowed right now is that it may or may not have a bug, and I say may or may not because the interaction doesn't look intentional, but it was also like in the showcase, so we're not sure if it's a bug. And I directly asked them, and they said they were not sure if it's a bug, so I think that's what we're waiting on.
Interesting. Okay. Well, at the very least, this thing has made for a lot of fun memes. in streams, I've seen people like really loving it. I think it's like a beloved Pokemon, so the release for it itself has been cool. But yeah, the overtuned of it is pretty strong. I think this is the way you should release new Pokemon, though, if they are a little bit faster on toning down Pokemon. Since they are not, though, it's a bit of a question mark, but I don't know. Lapras seems pretty solid across the board. Obviously, one of the most broken Pokemon within the game. Let's talk about the other broken Pokemon, though. Zacian still exists. It's running rampant in everybody's games. Still banned away from UCS. I mean, any thoughts that haven't been said on this Pokemon? Toon, what needs to be done about this Zacian Pokemon?
Oh, no. It's too... I don't know. There's so many things you could do to it.
Yeah.
It's too everything.
It is yeah. too everything. I think that's true.
The thing is, as well, is like you play the ones in NA and EU, and most of them aren't very good at Zacian because, like, you know, most of the good players aren't practicing it at all.
Right.
But I played against a Japanese deck, and the Zacian just perma killed everyone all game. Like,
mm-hmm.
wasn't anything we do. Is it just preps its boosted auto? Apparently, there's something you can do where, like, if you prep your boosted auto, then charge the money, it just keeps your boosted auto.
Oh, good.
And then, like, it just flies at you from off your screen. With its boosted auto, and then just one bangs you, and then like I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
yeah I don't. I they need to like, I don't know. It just needs to be less.
Yeah, that it needs to be less across the board. Stats. How is my? I mean, honestly, I think it's our first like. Please rework this Pokemon in a lot of ways. Is what I'm feeling towards it. I think Lapras design wise is fine, but. Okay, well, we talked about the dog as much as I think we can talk about the dog. Last thing I think we should talk about is the new release coming up, Chandelure Attacker. First silence in the game, technically, as far as I know, if that move yes. even gets selected. How are we feeling about Chandelure as far as people have seen video of it and things like that?
I think the art is funny.
Yeah, it's like mini Nocturnal, right?
You go first, Tune, sorry.
No, it's fine. I haven't looked at the spells. I just want to be a candle.
Yeah,
it's I usually just wait till the release and then, you know, read it then. But right. I saw the ult. It was like Nocturne Valkos ult or something. I don't know.
Yeah, basically.
Like, yeah. It's like a beam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think you brought it up. It is Litwick is adorable when they are moving around. That is maybe the cutest Pokemon that we have in the game so far. If they make like a babies only mode and you just don't evolve, I think that is absolutely the way to do it. But yeah, thoughts on Chandelure, Lesnar?
I don't know, seems good. We'll have to wait a while to see what it's actually capable of, but mm-hmm. Like the kit seems really interesting. Glad we get a break from this bulky ass BS that they've been releasing back to back. Hopefully this thing isn't too tanky. Knock on wood. It's an attacker.
Yeah, well, we have evolutions, so which all have tanky
passives
somehow. So
yeah, and then we're gonna get another evolution that is a tank.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, they've been going hard on the tanks being added to this game. I'm glad we get a bit of a break onto the attacker role. Rumor is it speedsters in the near future, so that'll be cool. But yeah, okay. Yeah, I can't wait for Poltergeist to drop my FPS every 10 seconds. Yeah, that is true. That will be a concern. But I do want to make funny little chairs and tables in my game of Unite. That sounds like a ton of fun. I'm excited for Chandelure's release. I mean, it's a ghost type, so I'm eating good. I love those ghost types being added to the game. And honestly, I've been pretty blessed. There's a lot of good ghost Pokemon in the game of Unite right now. I've tried an Aegislash game, Toon. I just can't do it like you do. I don't understand why you like that Pokemon anymore. But it looked great when you played it in tournament. How do I play Aegislash, Toon?
Well, I was just picking it because like, I didn't know what to pick. Okay. And then, like, it looked like, oh, I looked at the other team comp, and I was like, they look like they're going to struggle to kill me, so I'll just go Aegislash and be a shield, and then see what happens.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's not the best. Maybe they'll buff it a bit, I don't know, but it's hard into a lot of things.
Not if you keep winning with it, but whatever.
I remember when we played in February, and then, like... I was like picking into Cypher, and I'm like, this is sick. Like, I'm just going to shield form the Cypher. And then Cypher would just vaporize me through my shield form.
Yeah.
As I go, yeah, well, it just touches a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It tried.
It's okay.
It tried. Yeah, Scyther, kind of nuts. Lazen, thoughts on AG?
I feel like it should have a positive matchup versus like Dodrio and Scyther, but then the characters are just tuned to the point where it doesn't. Like, on paper, it should, and then. It just does not play out that way. Same with Zoroark, I think.
Yeah.
Though I have not seen Zoroark versus AG played, I suspect that would not end well.
Yeah. Yeah, the three big speedsters of the game right now are pretty crazy. Dodrio, Scyther, and Zoroark all seem very, very strong.
And then, like, you try to play it on ladder, and this one's like, well, I'm a dog that has a sword in my mouth, and you're a sword, so prepare to get chewed. You know what I mean?
Unfortunate. Well, hey, as long as it's not my competitive game, I'm feeling all right. Well, I think that is going to bring us to the end of our show today. We've talked about a lot of the new releases, some important subjects around the community, and then, of course, our recap of the UIC, which was really, really fun and a great event. It's making me very excited for regionals, and I hope that everyone can get excited for NAIC in the future. But before we go, let's do a quick round of plugs. Lazarin, anything you want to give a shout-out to at the end of the episode here?
Yeah, I'll be going live with a autism awareness charity stream in an hour. Or I don't know if I'll be streaming in an hour 15. It'll be on Self Care Gamer, I believe it's her Twitch handle. Okay. So that'll be awesome. Other than that, you know, shout out to, of course, all the Luminosity streams. I'll be probably watching. I think this isn't there another Asia event coming up soon?
Could be. I mean, they just had their tournament last weekend. I mean, the same weekend that UIC happened, they had their first championship series event, which we'll probably talk more about on our Tuesday episode.
Okay. Well, if there's VODs of that, then I need to go find them so I could watch them.
There are. And we actually have to talk about their format, because their format is very interesting for Worlds qualification compared to ours. So we'll have to talk about it.
So I guess sometime during the week, look out for me watching some Asia region games, poggers.
Cool. Sick. Toon, anything you want to shout out? Where can people find you on the internet?
You get anybody come down.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to everyone who talked about my shoes. You're on the list. It's a very long list. And, yeah. I'll be seeing you. That's all I gotta say. All
right. Good stuff. That is the best Toon mic drop I think we've got in a long time. Well, that has been Overdunk, everybody. Tune in next time. Make sure to go to youtube.com/UniteMics if you want to see all the previous episodes that we have. Of course, we have Tally Bobo Believers interview on there from a few weeks ago when they won a different monthly tournament. Also, if you're listening on the podcast feeds, please leave a 5-star review. It helps so many people find the show and get more people into competitive Unite. This has been an awesome episode, though. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We're going to have more competitive content here on the channel for you and Twitch coming up very, very soon. But until then, goodbye, and I'll see you next time.